Hello and welcome to the Red Lips and Stilettos podcast. Red Lips and Stilettos is an industry hub and creative space for the beauty professionals. I'm Kerry, your host, who'll be releasing new episodes every single Friday and the founder of Red Lips and Stilettos. Here we are removing the competitive gap and giving you, as the beauty professional, a voice to be heard within our industry. This platform is created and dedicated to the beauty industry professionals, giving you new ideas, possibilities, and options to consider for your career. We serve to help connect you to the beauty professionals who've been there, done that, and experienced a world and more of what our professional beauty industry has to offer. Grab your coffee, get comfy, and enjoy. This is Red Lips and Stilettos. Our guest today is Sherry Tenhope, current CEO of Dermalogica South Africa. In 1995, Sherry qualified as a skincare therapist from Camelot International and joined Dermalogica South Africa as one of their very first staff members. Sherry started working for Dermalogica as a 19-year-old and progressed through the company from sales to education to general management and finally to managing director. As a young new graduate, she was wet behind the ears with the passion to make her Dermalogica journey a phenomenal success. In 2007, Dermalogica South Africa was purchased by the very caring hands of Cavi Brands and Sherry Tenhope herself. During this episode, Sherry shares her story, experiences, and lessons she has had to learn on her journey right from the very beginning all the way to the top. Welcome to the podcast, Sherry. Hi, Sherry. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the Red Lips and Stilettos podcast today.
Absolute pleasure.
So, Sherry, we start off each episode every week with the exact same question, and that is, how did you enter into the beauty industry?
Okay, so interestingly, I was in matric and about to sign up to do art, actually. So, I can't remember how do you call it. What do you even call it? It's so long ago now. Anyway, when you paint, the formal art. And
yeah.
I was going to go to varsity for that. And I was dating somebody at the time whose sister said to me, just come to Camelot's open day. So Camelot International is a really well-known college. And she said, come and see what we're about. We're having an open day. Come visit. So I did. And I walked into Camelot and there was just this amazing room full of angelic, almost like therapists, busy massaging their clients in their white uniforms. And there was just something about that moment. It just sort of like struck me and I thought, wow, this intrigues me. And then when I investigated what it entailed and the various subjects, anatomy, physiology, psychology, all that good stuff, that was right up my alley. I loved biology. So I just decided, and there and then I changed, and I signed up with Camelot International, and I did 2 years with them.
That's amazing. And when you went home after that open day and told your parents that you're not going to go to university and study art, that you're going to actually be going to beauty school, were they absolutely chilled at that, or did they, what was their opinion on that?
You know, I don't even remember a reaction. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think if it was more cost effective, they were probably chuffed. But no, I think they were supportive of my choice. I mean, I always did love biology at school. I enjoyed health and well-being and that whole side of things. They knew that about me. So I absolutely got supported on that decision. And I mean, Camelot was, you know, very aspirational. It was looked up to. It still is. And it would be an international qualification. So, yeah, they were very chuffed.
Okay, so you had the support.
I did.
after completing your diploma in beauty therapy, what was next for you?
So I did some hours in, as part of that, you know, you've got to do your hours. So I did hours in a salon in the south where I grew up, in the south of Joburg. And then I also did hours in a store in Village Walk, actually, which has completely changed now. But that's where I actually came across Dermalogica, was at that salon. So I was doing my hours on weekends as a student, and, you know, doing kind of weekend work and getting into the whole practical side of being a skincare therapist. And then I had to go on Dermalogica training as part of working for that salon. It was called Body Affair. And it was that experience of going into a Dermalogica training that actually was the real turning point for me, because I did wonder a little bit, like, have I made the right choice? Is this really for me? Am I going to be able to, you know, grow in this industry? Or did I make a mistake? But when I came across that Dermalogica training that day, I was just bowled over by the commitment to training therapists, the global aspect of the company and how training had come first. You know, they had a school before they had product. And the people who represented Dermalogica in those early days, it was Carolyn and Lee, I was just like, wow, that's impressive. And they just stood out compared to everybody else. So what was next is they contacted me and said, do I want to come and work for the company? And what did I know? I was completely wet behind the ears. I'd hardly been to Santon in my life, let alone. And off I went for my interview. And and I got the job.
That's incredible. That is absolutely incredible. And from, I mean, there's a couple of years in between the introduction to Dermalogica and to where you are today.
Yeah.
Can you just fill in the gaps between of your journey throughout the industry with Dermalogica?
Sure. So, I mean, a couple of years is 26 years. So it's hard to believe, actually. I still feel like I'm that 19-year-old, though. But pretty much, look, I joined Dermalogica as a startup, right? So we were just a very tiny little business. I mean, we started off from the owner of the brand at the time was Lee. She was then Lee Hardy. And I mean, literally, we worked out of the dining room. You know, we had a metal cabinet and a filing cabinet in the garage, and that was where our stock was. We had one cupboard of stock. And I was like the kippie, you know, I was there doing all the skivvy work, the deliveries and packing the orders. But I was also repping for Lee's late husband, Andy. He had a business called Sporting House, and their products were all sort of health oriented, also a little bit on the skin side, but pharmacy based. So I was the rep for Sporting House and I was the skivvy for Dermalogica. And we really only had like, I don't know, 5 accounts. I mean, it was really early, early days. People couldn't even say Dermalogica in those days. And nobody wanted the product because no one knew about us. So it was right at that beginning phase of literally having to sit on people's doorsteps and hoping they'd let you in for an appointment. So that was the beginning. And I did that for some years, the sort of multi-role driver, packer. Because a startup, you know, you don't have the funds for a full team. And you've got to get some growth to grow. So that's how it began. And then I did more of the sales side for Sporting House. I got quite good at that. And then I started to get more involved with Dermalogica. I mean, Lee would say to me, I'd pack my orders for the morning. I was ready to go on deliveries. And she'd say, okay, get into the classroom and do the introduction to today's class, because Dermalogica is all about education. And I'd be like, what do you mean? I haven't prepared. I haven't. And she says, no, just go in and do it. So I was really thrown in the deep end. But in hindsight, I'm so grateful, right? Because I just learned to do it and I adapted. And I would do my introductions. And I actually slowly realized that I had a real love for the training. And I got more and more involved in the training side as a therapist myself. And I started to focus on that as my job. So, I became an educator. I then ran the education department for probably about 8 years. And then at about 27, I was made general manager. And so young to be a general manager, but, Lee went off to go and open up Spain, Dermalogica. And she kind of said, look, I need to trust you with the business here. So, you know, I'm going to make you GM. And so I ran the business as general manager from then. And in about 2007, she eventually decided to sell the business. And the business was sold to Cavi Brands, who owns it today. And I stayed on as a partner. I became the CEO. And, you know, that was 12, 13 years ago already. So that's pretty much the gaps in between. So I've been running it since 27 and still a partner and owner today.
That's amazing. And when Lee went off to Spain and gave you the position, or you earned the position as general manager, did you feel any form of imposter syndrome, or did you have the confidence that you knew that you could absolutely crush that position, or were there a bit of doubts that you had internally?
You know, I always had a bit of baggage in that, you know, I didn't formally study business or anything. I've done a couple of business courses over the years, but I don't have a business degree. You know, I didn't go to university and get a degree. So I always carried a little bit of baggage about that, I guess. I always did have a little bit of self-doubt, but I suppose the only way to, you know, face that is just to get on with the doing of it. So, you know, I was by no means handed any sort of blue manual to say this is how you run a business. I guess I just worked with my instinct and what was right by the client, right by the brand, and in many ways what's common sense. You know, if you're sort of upholding the brand values and doing what's good for building the brand, the rest comes. And that was kind of my philosophy, was I just got on with it. You know, Lee supported me in the way that I needed her to support me at the time. And then when I got more involved via Cavi, there was a change there because I then became a partner. I was more formally involved in the financial side of the business. And so I grew a lot in those days because I was exposed to the P&L. I was part of all of that side of the business, whereas before I wasn't really part of that. I was more focused on the brand and the clients. So, you know, was I confident? I guess I just built confidence as I went, if I'm honest. I think experience gave me confidence, much like the presenting and the educating. I'd never done it before. And the only way I got good at it was just to do it and to do more of it. And then eventually, you know, you build muscles and you get pretty good at something. And that was just by really jumping in and getting on with the job.
Yeah. And I also think, just in my opinion, with you throwing yourself in the deep end and you actually learn more about the business side of things than you would have if you actually went to university and got a business degree. There's things Absolutely. That they can't actually teach you, like you said, like in a blueprint. This is how you do it.
Absolutely. I mean, Michael always says to me, my partner in the business, and he's my life partner too. He always says to me, you know, you've got an MBA just through experience. And I think that's look, it is great to have formal education. I'm fully supportive of that. But I suppose that being in the trenches is the real learning as opposed to the theoretical and the textbook. I think the textbook can help and it can certainly springboard you, I guess, ahead, right? So you can formally learn stuff that then you already have that knowledge base to kick off with. But yeah, we worked it out. We learned it as we went. And I think when you build a brand from nothing, you're really starting from zero. So everything is a learning. Everything is a development phase. And then one day you look at it and you go, wow, we've actually got a business. You know, we've got several hundred accounts. We've got a brand that people love and respect. And we've got something very special. And culturally, you know, our team and our tribe and our people are a big part of our USP and a big part of our purpose, quite frankly. And that just, I think if you apply basic principles of leadership and just good values, you know, you build more than you realize. It's like being a parent. You don't have to be a good parent because you read a book. You just have to, you know, just do the right things. And keep your values intact and have integrity.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you were starting out with Dermalogica in the very beginning and you were the skivvy doing all of the ugly work, did you have any doubts that is this where I wanted to be, or did you know that this is exactly where you wanted to be?
You know, it's such a good question. I really didn't even think about that. So I think I was so in the doing. I was so like desperate to keep my job and not be fired and just and do the right thing, you know, that it's interesting because I don't think I reflected a lot around, is this good for me? Is this building my career? Where am I going to go next? I kind of didn't think like that. I just got on with it. I tried to do the best I could. I got better at it. And as I got better at things, so I would get more responsibility and I would grow in the business. And I suppose because I was always growing and I was always being stretched and I was always learning and being discomforted, it just happened anyway. It wasn't like I had to set this plan and go, okay, well, by this time or I'm going to be at that milestone. I guess it just happened almost, you know, naturally, organically. And so that's probably why I landed up where I landed up, you know. So I often say to people, you know, it's good to be deliberate and set goals and set plans, because you set your intention to get to a certain place. I didn't go, oh, well, I'm going to be the CEO in 10 years. I actually didn't, funny enough. But,
yeah.
But it just evolved into that. But I'm a deeply responsible person, and I'm very passionate. So if I do anything, I do it 150%. And I suppose the byproduct of that input was that I kept going, I kept growing up the ladder of the business, and I kept being recognized for being able to be capable enough to take on more. And that just evolved into what it did. And, yeah. And you know, I built relationships along the way. So, you know, Dermalogic is a very special brand in that the founders, Jane and Ray, I mean, Ray was born in Worcester, so there's like big South African roots. You know, they were people who chose distributors as kind of foster parents for their baby. So it was less about, you know, have you got a business plan and what's your commercial acumen and what's your bank balance? I mean, yes, you know, you've got to be astute in business, but that wasn't the deciding factor, you know. The deciding factor was, who are you? What do you stand for? What means something to you? And I suppose through the years of loyalty and dedication and passion and commitment, I also earned the credibility with them. And we really nurtured very strong business relationships. And I think that was part of the growth and part of the support to land up being where it is today.
Yeah, I think when you look at Dermalogica from just like an outside perspective, you can see that it's all about the family.
Yeah.
And the intentions are so clear and are so genuine when it comes to the products and everything about it. So
absolutely.
I think, and a huge congratulations. Congratulations to you. I mean, I know you probably hear that a lot, but you have seriously built an exceptional company in South Africa.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I mean, you know, the truth is, we, as Jane's always said, we all stand on the shoulders of giants. So, you know, we never build things alone. We always build things as teams. And, you know, our therapists, our stockists they're the ones who brought us to the dance. You know, if they didn't give us that chance, if they didn't say yes to that appointment, if they didn't give us that opportunity to prove ourselves, we wouldn't be where we are today. So I think it is important to work hard and have a vision and be committed, but it's that collective chemistry. It's that alchemy of a team evangelizing a vision, people believing in what they do. And then having great leaders like Jane and Ray who set the example, you know, who walked the talk, who were really fantastic and remain fantastic role models to us today. You know, whenever I engage with Jane, I always want to be a better person. I want to be a better woman, a better business person, a better mother, a better human when I engage with her. And that is a sign for me of leadership.
Yeah.
So thanks for the compliments. But I think we've done it as a collective. Without doubt.
Yeah, very humble response. And just going back to the beginning as well, when you were trying to get the word out and you were trying to get the word out to the stock list and the clients, how did you overcome the no's?
Oh, perseverance. Take no prisoners. You know, you've got to, I laugh because I think one of our best accounts today, and she's a complete doyen in the industry, and that's Jenny Eels in Durban. Jenny has been at it for a very long time, and she was always like seen to be one of the best accounts, and it was very tough to get an appointment. And eventually what happened is a colleague of mine booked an appointment as though they were going to have a treatment with her. And then when the treatment was supposed to begin, Carolyn said to her, listen, actually, I'm giving you a treatment. So I've got my kit here. This is the Dermalogica little box we've got with us, so you got to jump on the bed and we're going to give you a skin treatment. And and she agreed, and she's one of our best accounts today still, you know, not just in rand value and as a big spender with the brand, but somebody who epitomizes what we're about and who absolutely lives wellness and skin health and professionalism. So yeah, I think we just didn't give up, right? You just got to go back and just keep knocking on the door. And it's interesting because in the beginning, when kind of nobody really wanted to entertain it because no one else knew it, it quickly evolved into, okay, I really want Gemmologica, but you better not give it to anybody else. Don't give it to the person down the road, hey? So it's funny how it shifted from no one wanted it to they were fierce about it. But yeah, you just got to persevere. I mean, sales is all about that. And it's not even about sales. It's about influencing change. So you're never going to do it the first time around. You've got to stick with it. Persevere.
Keep going.
Yeah, keep going. It's, you know, Jane and Ray always say, if they knew how hard it was going to be in the beginning, they would never have done it. You know, so sometimes when you know too much, you fear too much, and then you stop yourself. You've just got to stay fierce and have conviction in your in what you are about and go for it. And slowly, slowly you catch the monkey, and before you know it, you've got this blazing fire of influence. And then actually people start spreading it for you because, you know, people recommend the brand to others because they love it.
Yeah. The word of mouth becomes your biggest marketing.
Absolutely.
And in your experience as CEO of Gemmologica South Africa, what was the hardest lesson that you have had to learn along the way?
I've been reflecting a lot on that question since you sent me your mail. Wow, sure. I mean, you know, in a year like Corona, I think there's been a lot of lessons. But I would say, look, first of all, you never stop learning and you never stop growing and you never arrive, actually. So it doesn't matter how big you are or how much success you've had. You can never take that for granted and you can never just assume that that it remains there. You to stay at the front, to stay leading, is probably tougher than to become a leader in the first place. And I would say second to that is just people. People are everything. You know, a great vision without great people is meaningless. So, you know, you've got to choose your people well, look after your good people, really be discerning about who you allow to evangelize with you. Because, and that goes for the clients that you supply and it goes for the staff you hire. Because it's because they have a responsibility to be the brand. So I think the people side is, you know, the lesson is that the people are everything. You've got to get them right. You've got to look after them. And when you have the success, when you have the right people, you have success.
Yeah, that's really good advice. And thank you for having to learn those lessons so that we can share it with our listeners. And the, you know, the skin industry, the beauty industry today, to help them moving forward. And advice to someone wanting to follow in your footsteps.
What do you mean? As in become a CEO
way? I think making noise in the industry,
building something.
Yeah. That's what I meant when I came up with that question.
I think, you know what? I think that's a key thing is your passion. You know, it sounds sometimes like a little bit of an old adage, or maybe it's a bit overused about, you know, find your passion and your purpose. But I absolutely believe that is so true. You know, if you're just doing work to do work, it's meaningless. I think we are so blessed with Gemmologica in that we've always had purpose. We've always had a higher purpose. It's not about the product. The product is the vehicle to the real work. So I think my advice is whatever your passion is, whatever puts fire in your belly, whatever gets your juices going, whatever what you spend time on where you just don't even notice time flies because you're in flow and you're in your bliss, you know, go for that thing and stand by it. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, building this brand has not been easy. It's blood, sweat, and tears. But you know what? When something matters enough, you stick with it. You know, if you've got the passion, you'll have the fuel to overcome the obstacles because there will be obstacles. And more people will tell you it can't be done than they will tell you it can be done. So you're always going to find the naysayers. You've just got to discern who you listen to, choose who's around you. You know, you sort of become influenced by the key people you surround yourself by. So choose wisely who you put around yourself. And I think just stick to your goal and be unwavering in your faith and your plan. And the other side of that is you've got passion, but also face the brutal facts. So, you know, it's one thing to be an optimist. it's another to be a realist. It's another to go, what is it going to take for me to get to where I need to go? And be really ruthless about that. You know, face those brutal facts, see it for what it is, and then get on with it. Because there's nothing you can't tackle if you're informed and you're aware. But if you're kidding yourself, or you just think, oh, it's going to be easy, and then you give up at the first knock, you know, you're not going to get anywhere. It's going to be hard. But yeah. If you believe in it, you'll see it through, and you will find people who believe in what you believe along the way. And the more you build that, the momentum grows, and you just got to stick with it. So yeah. That would be my advice, is follow your passion, do the thing you love, do something that means something to you, because that's how you contribute. That's how you make a difference, is in meaningful work as opposed to just a job.
Yeah, no, I really love that answer. And just to add to that, with finding your purpose, it is, I think that is a saturated word, to find your passion and to find your purpose. And I think the best way to do that is to, you realize what you don't actually enjoy doing.
Yeah.
The things that don't sit well with you, that's a good sign, because you know, okay, well, that's not it. Check. Then you move on to the next one. And that's how you actually find, I don't know if you agree, that's what I've learned.
You know, it's an interesting one, because I think you're right. And I mean, I've just said, you know, find your passion, feel your passion and pursue it. But, you know, if I take the first part of my journey, I wasn't working from that place. So I didn't even know that I had a passion for this stuff, because I was just busy doing my work and working really hard and you know, making sure I didn't get fired in those early days. So I actually often say to people in our induction, in our vision meeting when they join us, is, you know, love is a thing. Passion is a thing that builds. And it's not necessarily the thing that feels right or easy from the start. You often grow into it by default or by making mistakes or whatever it is. So I almost want to say, don't give up just because maybe you don't feel like, oh, I love this, or this is my dream job. I don't think that's a bit of an illusion. I think it's about what makes you feel like you're growing, what's stretching you, where are you contributing? And that can grow over time. So if I look back at my life, I've grown my passion, but I didn't even know what I didn't know in the beginning, because you don't. You've got to almost like unlock those parts of yourself, and you only unlock them when you do stuff and you discover who you are and you discover what's possible. So yeah, it's a little bit of, I think where it can feel superficial for people is they're all looking for this thing that feels a certain way, but they don't realize that maybe you get to your core and your purpose and your passion through your hardest experiences, through your toughest challenges, not through the easy stuff. And so I suppose it's just getting that balance right of not looking for it to feel like, oh, it's like this, but actually, what if it's all of that other stuff, all of those challenges that you face, and it's that way that you mine the gold out of who you are as a character, and you work out where your purpose lies. But I remember, and I'll just finish off on this, but I remember being in a great webinar years ago, and this guy said, what is it that breaks your heart? So what is it that you see or experience that absolutely breaks your heart? Because that tells you where your passion lies. So what matters to you? And it's quite interesting, because when you think of that question, you will know what matters when you ask yourself that. What is the stuff that touches you inside? I do think that's got to do with finding your purpose. But
yeah,
don't give up on that. You know, it's not about the destination. I think the journey is what counts. Life is about the journey. It's not about getting to the top of the mountain and summiting, because we always say, you know what, there's always going to be another mountain. And, you know, like Miley Cyrus said, you're always going to want to make it move. And that's what happens in life, is you climb that mountain and then there's another one and then there's another one. But it's not about getting to the top. It's that journey of getting to the top. That's really what it's about.
Yeah. And do you know what? To add to that, Cherie, I'm busy building my business at the moment. And I was saying to my partner the other day, you know, if someone just handed it to me now, handed me the checks, handed me the successful business, I wouldn't want it, because it's the everyday little challenges that makes me obsessed over what I'm doing. It's not about the destination, you know.
Absolutely.
And I'm living through it right now. So I completely agree with that.
And there's something about that reward of, like, you know, getting to those milestones and achieving what you haven't achieved before. And it's all relative, you know. So when you're first building a business, just making the decision to start your own business is massive. Just that. Then getting your first client, you know, that's the start. And then so you go, your first 10 or your first 100. You know, when Dermalogica decided to sort of launch a product, because before they were actually started by the Dermal Institute was born first, which is a postgraduate training school. And Jane and Ray had gone over to LA and they had started this business very young. I mean, Jane was 23. Ray was about 12 years older, and they started this training business. And then people started to say, well, what product do you think we should use? And that Jane just didn't, as a therapist herself, didn't resonate with any of the products that were available. So they started to look into doing their own product. But the irony is, they went to Long Beach Trade Show in 1986. And we all know what those trade shows are like, you know. And they went there with just the idea of Dermalogica. They went with just images of how the product would look. And it was way back in the day when we still had flip charts, you know. It was none of this fancy digital stuff, right? And they basically sold Dermalogica on the idea of it, because they didn't have the money yet to make the product. So they had to get 10 opening orders out of that trade show to secure the funds to make their first set of Dermalogica. You know, so everything starts from somewhere. And that reward of having done that work, there's just, as you say, easy come, easy go. There's something about sweating and working towards a goal that isn't always so easy. There's just, I think you get a depth to it. You get meaning somehow. You get meaning from the sweat and the challenge and overcoming obstacles, rather than, it was just handed to you on a silver platter.
Exactly.
You know, my parents always taught me that nothing's handed to you on a silver platter. We certainly had nothing handed to us as kids on a silver platter. And I think that attitude of being prepared to work hard, being willing from young, I mean, I worked from 14, I never expected to get anything. And I think that's an important part of the mindset of what keeps you going, is that you don't expect anything to be given to you. You work for it. You know, hard work works.
Yeah. Yeah, fall in love with the hard work.
Yeah, and that's it. There's no shortcuts.
No, I've learned that. I have learned that. And Cherie, what is next for you?
Sure, what is next? So I actually stepped out of the business about 3.5 years ago. So as CEO, I became chairman, which sounds like such a crazy title, but I just sort of elevated into more of a non-executive role because I had my little boy, Christopher. And I did that a little bit later in my life. So I really wanted to enjoy that phase of being a mom. But then I came back into Dermalogica in May of this year. So I'm kind of back in the saddle for like phase two almost. So I suppose what's next is, I guess, working out what's the future next for Dermalogica. You know, we've come this far. But the world's a changing place. You know, our consumers are changing. Our industry is changing. COVID certainly came along and disrupted everything too. Yeah. So I guess it's about reshaping and co-creating what, you know, future next phase two of Dermalogica is. That's my next focus in my career. I haven't thought about life beyond Dermalogica yet, because I still feel like there's so much we've got to do. And I guess that's my mission. My mission is to get us to our next, you know, whatever that milestone is for us. It's taking the brand into a place that it hasn't been before. We've already pivoted quite strongly to e-commerce, but it's about, you know, if we're defining professional skincare, what does that look like? And what do we need to do to be that change? So that's my mission. My mission is gearing us up for future next Dermalogica.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I agree with you. This year has been just crazy. But again, being an outsider, looking into Dermalogica, I already know you're going to nail it.
Oh, thank you.
So, yeah. So whatever the reshaping looks like, I'm thank so you. Excited to see what Dermalogica brings, because it is going to be defining the future of the beauty industry.
We appreciate that. And again, we're very blessed to have the global support that we do, because we've had some sneak peeks as to what Nexture is about, and just the innovation, the new products that are coming, the sort of amplified focus on the therapist and expertise, and playing that up is a big part of our 2021 focus. And what always excites me is the potential that there is yet to unlock. And our industry has so much, because consumers are seeking out skincare, you know, in whatever places they are, and those places are changing. But there are so many people who still don't know the craft of a professional skincare therapist. And, you know, our mission is to get more people to know about that, because personally, I actually think our industry plays a bigger role now than ever before. Because if we think about what COVID taught us and the importance of connections, of human touch, of being nurtured, of feeling cared for, that's what our industry is about. I mean, yes, we happen to give you a great looking skin, but it's actually not about that. It's about the person in the skin. And it's about the connection and the sense of community that people feel when they're with us. So I really feel that we have a role to play in being the caregivers of the future, and upplaying the science of human connection, because there is real benefit in touch and in connecting with other people in a caring way. So I think we've got a big responsibility to help contribute to the planet in a way that it needs. I mean, the world needs more of what we do, that's for sure.
Definitely. I 100% agree with that. And I'm a beauty therapist myself, by trade. And yeah, that's when I was, because I've been working on cruise ships for the last couple of years. And that was the one thing, is that human connection. The clients aren't necessarily just buying the facial. Yes, transactionally, they're purchasing the facial or the products. But it's about that, how do you make them feel? The tactile affection. And there's just the attention, giving them, making them feel heard and listened to.
Absolutely.
So I'm on the same page, and I can't wait. I think that is exactly what humanity needs right now and the world needs right now. And then a surprise question for you, Cherie.
Yes.
If you could go back to the younger version of yourself with all the hindsight that you have, what would your advice be to her?
That's a really good question. what did I say to my younger self? I would probably say, I don't even like the word balance, because I don't know if it exists, but I would probably say, you know, work on having a bit more balance. I kind of was I gave everything to my career, and that's great. I don't regret that at all. I just think, you know, energy is the most important resource we have. So when we push it too hard and we run out of that energy, you can do nothing, you know. So I would probably say to my younger self, you know what, be as disciplined with other parts of your life, whether that's exercise or nurturing your hobbies and your creative side and stuff. Be as fierce about making time for that as I did for my work. I think I definitely gave a little bit too dominantly into my work and maybe less onto the other side.
Yeah. No, I think that's,
and have fun.
That's really,
have fun.
I really like that. Yeah.
Are you taking that advice? So young.
Are you taking that advice now?
You know, I do try. I mean, it's hard, if I'm honest. It's hard because maybe it's just me. I don't know. I don't know how to. And lots of people say to me, Cherie, just watch out, because you go and do what you do, you know. I don't know how not to give 150% of myself. So whether that's as a mom or whether that's, you know, as a CEO, or that's just my nature. But I am trying to be more mindful and more conscious about needing that balance, because – you know, the better, the more balanced you are. If your tank is full, you've got more to give and you've got more to share. If your tank is empty, you've got nothing to give. So, and nobody's coming to rescue anybody. We're responsible for ourselves. We get ourselves where we get ourselves by decisions we make. So it's mine to sort. And I am definitely trying to be more mindful. I mean, I took a painting actually while I was off. When I say off, when I was not quite CEO. And I hadn't painted, as I said to you, I was going to go and do fine arts. I hadn't painted in years. And I tell you, it was one of the best gifts. My husband actually gave it to me. And it was incredible to connect with that part of me, that right brain part of me. And it really fed my soul in a very deep and meaningful way. So I would say that, you know, keep that balance right.
Yeah,
but you know what? Otherwise, no regrets, really. I don't regret my life. I think everything served its purpose. I think every stepping stone was there for a reason. And we make the choices we make with the knowledge we have at the time. You know, so in some ways, I think looking back is always, feels a little bit like a waste because you choose at the time with what you know. So just the more conscious we become, the more differently we choose.
I love that. Now we're just waiting for your book on your life and your business journey.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, maybe I should write the book one day because there's so many fabulous stories behind Gymlogica and funny stories and things that we've done for this brand. I mean, it's and you know, many stockists will laugh, I think, if they read the book with me because they will remember those stories. And I think what's so special is just how much life you share with each other, you know, because it's one thing to go, oh, we're a product house and we're supplying to people. We're not that. We've got partnerships. So these are like marriages. And there's just so much life in between. We've been to congresses together. We've shared so much through the years that, it's worth a book in a way because this is a tribe of very special people. And I think that's the difference. It's not transactional. It's all about relationships.
Exactly. No, I love that. And that's just a little challenge, planting a seed.
Absolutely. I think you're right. I better do it while my brain still works and I can remember everything.
Yeah. Make little notes each day.
Exactly.
But Cherie, thank you so much for being on the Red Lips and Stilettos podcast today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for the opportunity and all the best with building your business. So exciting.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Help you with that.
I definitely will. I think this year 2020 is nearly done and dusted. So now it's just the planning phase for next year, and then I will definitely be in touch.
You know what? I just to finish off, I went to a great book launch this week actually, and it's the new John Sinai book called Future Next. And he said such an interesting thing in his intro was, you know, a lot of people sort of, when we get into victim mentality, saying, you know, people say, oh, well, you know, COVID has happened to us as opposed to COVID has happened for us. And I almost want to leave that message with everybody because I think when we look at it as it happened for us, you know, maybe it's exactly what we needed to give us that 2020 vision because that's what 2020 was supposed to be about. And if we can see it in that light and look at our opportunities through a creative mindset, I think we can create a new world that's a better world, that is a more balanced and kinder and symbiotic world. Because as he said, you know, the normal was just familiar. But there was maybe nothing normal about it. It's just what we knew. So I think, you know, as we start to build new chapters of our lives, it's actually coming from that place of consciousness to say, how do we want to change it? And how can we contribute to reshaping and remolding what we want the world to be? And I think our industry plays a key role there. So that's why it's super exciting. We're in the right place at the right time.
I definitely think so. And I also believe everything happens for a reason.
100%.
It's really difficult to hear that at times, but if you believe that, you know that it's for your growth and for what's coming in the near future. But I love that, and thank you so much for ending the podcast on that note. And thank you again for being on the podcast today.
And thank you, Kerry. All the best. Hey, take care.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode on the Red Lips and Stilettos podcast. My vision for Red Lips and Stilettos podcast is to empower our industry, inspire our professionals, and be that hub for support. I hope you enjoy what I bring to the table, and this little business is literally here for you. So any support, whether it be listening to the podcast, sharing the episodes, liking, following, or telling a fellow colleague or friend to listen is highly appreciated. If this podcast is something that inspires you or sparks that inner flame in your belly, I would love you to join the conversation, become engaged, let this podcast re-inspire, motivate, and connect you to the why you chose this industry. Every Friday morning, South African Standard Time, a new episode will be released. I look forward to our next episode, but that is it for now. Until next time, stay safe, and more importantly, stay connected.